Good morning. So my friend Monica, my best friend Monica, called me this week and told me, I know what God wants you to do this weekend. I'm like, really? Tell me. And she said, he wants you to share what you're thankful for. I'm like, oh yeah, he wants me to do that every day. I like doing that, you know, to one person. You know, like, I thought, you know, 200's a little bit extra. But I am thankful. God has done a lifetime of things in my life to be thankful for. And just getting back from retreat this weekend, my heart's definitely dwelling on that. So I'll start. I am so thankful that as a 14-year-old, broken, rebellious, searching young girl, God sent a girl in my high school class to say, hey, come to youth group with me at Eastwood. And that was a long, long time ago. So at 14 years old, I accepted that invitation. I came. And here at Eastwood, in the youth group, I found leaders that love me. I found other students that love me. I found a family. I found people who accepted me in my rebellion and my nonsense. And I loved being here. I was here every time the doors were open. I was here all the time. But even in that, I was still like the master of my own ship. I still was making my life work myself. I was figuring out how to get all my needs met by myself. That was just part of it. So go on a few years, and at 17, I found myself pregnant in my senior year of high school. And I pulled away from the church. I pulled away from all those friends and people that were around me, and I thought I was going to figure out how to be a young wife and a young mom, and I was going to do that well, and I was going to figure it out, and I was going to make it work. And it didn't take too long for my life to really spiral and to hit a place where I was like, I can't make this work. I can't be a good mom to this precious baby girl that God gave me. I can't be a wife that holds a marriage together that has no, that there's no foundation for. And things spiraled. And I found myself in a really dark place. And I looked at my little girl and I'm like, I just want her to have a place where she's safe and she's loved. She needs church. She needs church. She needs people to love her and accept her and come around her and be her family. And so I packed her up one day, one Sunday morning, when she was about a year and a half old, and you know, got her dressed, and we came and we sat up in that balcony. And I'd been removed for a couple of years, so I didn't come down and sit with everybody else. And I was up in the balcony, and that morning, Jesus spoke to my heart in such a way that said, Lisa, what she needs is not church. Church is great, but her greatest need is a Savior. Your greatest need is a Savior. And that day, after the service ended, I walked down from that balcony, and I walked here to this, was a pew, and I cried out to Jesus to be my Savior and to take all that brokenness and all that me doing it myself and me trying to make it work. And he saved me from that. He saved me from my brokenness that day. And I believed. And from that day to this day, you know, for a 47-year-old woman, there has been so much. There's been so much growth and failure and redemption and over and over and over again. But what I still need is that Savior. And this weekend was my 15th year going to retreat and being able to come around those kids and stand beside them and tell them, like, what you need is a Savior. You don't need everything this world tells you you need. What you need is a Savior. And I am so thankful for my Savior. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to spend time with these kids and to be able to be a part. He's given me an opportunity to be a part of that.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And if she comes over and she goes, is that enough? I've been trying to get her to do this for years. And Monica said, I can get her. And And she called her up, and when she said, I think God wants you to share on Sunday morning, what she said was, what? But that was perfect. I don't think you could have a better testimony than that. And as she's speaking, it just reminds me of those four fundamentals of the gospel, which she experienced every one of them. The open door is you belong in God's family. And the open door for us as Christians, the first fundamental we have to remember is we came to Christ because we saw that the door was open for us to be in a family. And our job is to make sure others see that. And Lisa does a wonderful job of that. And the next one is sin is serious and it'll ruin your life. And, you know, all of us think that sin is serious, but we can play and not get where it ruins our life. And every one of us is going to come to a moment sooner or later where we realize that's not true. That being separated from God and living life on our own and being, like she said, the captain of our ship, it's going to lead us like the Titanic into some kind of iceberg. And the next one is you become a Christian when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You do not become a Christian when you realize that God's family is a better place to be than the world. You don't come to Christ when you go to a small group and feel like you've got support and friends for the first time in your life. You do not become a Christian when you surround yourself with a better environment. You become a Christian when Jesus Christ reveals himself to you and you know you're in God's presence, and God is calling you, and he's saying one thing. Are you going to embrace me, or are you going to push me away? And you know that decision is there. You know you're either going to push God away because you don't want to surrender your whole life. You don't want your life to be his, even though he created you. You want to hold on to it. And that's the moment that salvation occurs. When we surrender our lives to Christ and we enter the kingdom of heaven where he is now our king and rules. And then the last one is God has a purpose for your life. Anybody who's really given their heart to Christ knows this. When Jesus called the disciples, he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He told them what he was going to do in their lives and what the purpose of their life was. Sometimes people who are around and they enjoy belonging to God's family from the outside don't have this drive inside of them to do what pleases God and to fulfill the reason he created them and put them on this earth. But when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we want to do what God wants. And I've watched that, like she said, she's been here for 15 years. And God has put on her heart those kids who were like her that were on the outside. And she loves them. And she's got faith and hope for them. Maybe when sometimes everybody else thinks this one, I don't know if we can ever get to them. She believes. And she works to do God's will. And that is the gospel. That is the full cycle of the gospel. And what that does is the more you give in service to doing what God called you to do and loving other people, really showing his love to other people, the more you realize you really are a part of God's family. And it just grows and grows and grows, and life becomes richer and fuller and better. And that's the gospel. And so before we go on, I just want to, with such a wonderful picture of it, I just want to pray. Father, we just bow before you right now. And we confess that we're so easily deceived, especially by our own hearts. We feel like we can find the things our hearts desire somehow in the world. And we want to be in charge of our lives. But the fact is we don't even know what we need. But you know our hearts. You understand that emptiness that gnaws away inside of us, and you understand how to fill it. It can only be filled through your love that's revealed to us through Jesus Christ, who demonstrated it on the cross. And no man comes to the Father except through Christ, because it's through Christ that you have spoken fully and that we can understand who you are and who we are. And we want, Lord, to see the power of that Holy Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead alive and a work in us, changing us and making us more and more your people, more and more like Christ in our hearts. And so we're here today just to lay ourselves before you, to thank you for your forgiveness and your salvation, and to lay our lives before you in worship. In Christ's name we pray, amen.